We're holding on Tess Amud Aleph, close to the bottom, six lines from the bottom. Still in the middle of the whole discussion about Gedula, and all the pros and cons of that. So we left off then. So we've come to the conclusion thus far that when you're talking about Dovash and Zare Kola, something where the original thing that you planted doesn't disintegrate in the ground, like onions and things from that family, then we said in the case of Nedarim, we said that in fact it's not bottle, and even the Gedulin we said are author. On the other hand, in other cases, in the case of Shemitah, we said that the Gedulin can indeed be mevatel the Iker, because there we said it happens through Karka, and there's different circumstances. In some cases we say that because the original core was also, therefore the Gedulin are also as well, not really as a matter of bittul per se, but just because they grew out of it. In other cases we say that the Gedulin themselves are mutter. For example, in the case of Shemitah, when they grew after Shemitah year, they themselves are mutter. And then we have the discussion between the Ran and the Rosh, whether that means that we're saying that in that case that the core becomes mutter as well. So Gufa, getting back to what we discussed before. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, litra b'salim shtikna, if you have a litra of onion that you took out maisa from it, properly, so now it's plain old colon, v'zara, and then you planted it. Misaseret l'fikula, then when you take out maisa later on, you're going to take maisa based on the whole volume of it, not just based on the volume of the gedulin.
Litra is how much?
A litra is about a pound. About a pound, give or take. It doesn't necessarily mean that. The point is that when you harvest it, you're gonna look at the entire onion insofar as taking truma and meiser, not just at the gedulin, which is what the Ran used this previously as his proof that we're not talking about. There's no possibility here that we're talking that the gedulin may have one status and the ikur may have another status, because if that's the case, then that wouldn't work over here with masaseret v'fikola. You wouldn't, because then you could end up taking from the part that's chayiv on the part that's potter, and vice versa. Whereas according to the Rosh's svara, we would say that yes, that's what it actually means is you take truma and maaser out of the whole onion, and proportionately it comes out that you're taking from the potter part on the potter part and from the higher part on the higher part. It comes out, it works out proportionally.
Why do we have to mention a liter? What difference?
Nothing. It's just that's a standard amount, I guess, that you'd plan. So Yosef Rabba of Kamal LaHoshmaita. So Rabba one time was sitting and saying over this teaching. Who would listen to you and to your Rebbe, Rabbi Yochanan? Now, usually, even Rabbi Yochanan was in Eretz Yisrael, Rabbah was in Babel. How does he come to be a Talmud? So we learned at the end of Kesubos that Rabbah's brother that Rabbah's brother sent him a long letter urging him to come to Eretz Yisrael and learn by Rabbi Yochanan, based on this Gemara and a couple of others. It seems that Rabbah may have taken him up on that. Rabbah was much, much younger than Rabbi Yochanan, and he wouldn't have been there for very long, but at least he may have been there for some period of time actually learning under Rabbi Yochanan.
And what was the reason he told him to come?
And we learned over there that Rabbah's brother was arguing to him that given that Rabbi Yochanan is still alive, you should grab the opportunity to learn by him. And even though you're a great Talmud Chacham yourself, it's not comparable to that you'd have a chance to learn from a great Rebbe like Rabbi Yochanan. Anyway, so Rav Chista is saying, how is that possible? How can we possibly accept what Rav Yochanan is saying? Heter shebehem lahechan halach. Where did the heter of them go? If you're saying that you planted an original litra of onions, which were completely free of any obligation of truma and maaser, because you already took it, all of a sudden you're saying now when you harvest them, all of a sudden you're saying that the gedulim overwhelm the original and now you have to maaser the whole thing? Why? I mean, they're you had a part of it that was originally not chayiv and meiser. How can you make it chayiv and meiser again? Now, I mean, we just went through a whole discussion about all the pros and cons of that when we say the gedulim are and aren't mile of the iser, and we say that in many or the iker, and in many cases we say that they are. Why all of a sudden is a chit having a problem with that? So in fact,
we never had a case like that where the whole.
Well, we did actually. This statement of Rabbi Yochanan we quoted earlier on in the sugya. in connection when we were, again, when we were trying to figure out this whole thing, the whole case of the onion that was the onion that was replanted in the year after Shemitah and grew more, whether now it has consciousness or not.
After everything was taken.
Yeah, no, that was the case of Shemitah. Here we're talking about a case of Meiser, but whatever. We brought in this statement. At one point, we brought in the statement of Rabbi Yochanan to prove that the gedulim are mevatel the ikar, just like we say in that case that the gedulim which are chayev and Meiser overwhelm the ikar and make it chayev and Meiser as well. Same thing in reverse. We said that we wanted to use that to argue that the same thing should apply as far as Shemitah. So okay, we argued there's a difference. You know how you were talking about the chumra. How do you know that it applies with kula? But after a bunch more give and take, we concluded that yes. The fact is valid. A lot of times we do find that the gedulim change the status of the ikar. This is one of those examples. So now we're getting back to discussing that.
But we never have a case of maaser that was not higher.
But we did, because that was Rabbi Yochanan's case. And we say gufa over here. We're getting back to a statement that Rabbi Yochanan made previously on Men Zayin Amud Beis. That's the beginning of the story. Yes, and now, but that's the point. In other words, we mentioned that, and then we were discussing. We had all these cases where the gedulim changed the status of the ikar. So in fact, the Rosh says, yeah, okay. So Rav Chisda evidently disagrees with that concept. He would learn everything that we learned up until now, all the various discussions about it. He would have to understand them some other way in order to say that's not necessarily so, and therefore he has a problem with Rabbah's statement. The Ran doesn't learn that way. The Ran learns, rather, that Rav Chisda does agree with the basic concept that gedulim can override the ikar. But there's a difference between whether you're talking about the taste of the iser or the value of the iser. What are you saying? You're saying that if you have the onion grew much larger, and now the growth that grew the heter after Shemitah, or in this case vice versa, the iser, where now not the iser, but whatever, where the chayiv and meiser, you're saying that now when you eat the whole onion, it's like you don't even taste the original core. So fine, we could say as far as Shemitah, for example, you could argue, therefore, that the gedulei heter are mala the iser, and therefore the whole thing becomes mutter, because they're not discernible. The fact you can't discern really a taste of an onion of Shemitah. But in our case over here, that's the point, because there's so much gedulei. In our case over here, what are we saying? We're saying that if the original onion that you planted, which is already putter from mice, from truma and mice, because you already taken truma and mice from it, weighed an ounce, and now you harvest it and it weighs 10 ounces, and you're telling me that you have to take truma and mice from the entire 10 ounces, why? Forget about taste, not taste. Here the question of taste is not relevant. Yes, you might not be able to discern and taste that there's a difference between one part and another part, but in volume, we know the fact is that there's 1 ounce out of this onion that's potter from Meiser. So why should you have to take Meiser again for that 1 ounce? You should only have to take Meiser for the additional 9 ounces.
1 ounce out of how many?
Out of 10.
Is that enough?
That's okay. Let's assume that's it. Again, we talked about the beginning of the Soviet. At the beginning of the Soviet, no, that's as far to be about the truma.
Yeah.
But as far as this case over here, I mean, here we're not even talking. Here we're talking just for something that's chayev and meiser to be mevatel, something that's potter from meiser, it may be enough with a simple majority. You may not even need 10 times as much. It might be enough with twice as much. In the case with the other way around, where you want the hetcher to be mevatel the iser, you may need 60 times as much for most iserim. Whatever, that's not so relevant over here. The point is, however, fine, you want to say it grew 60 times as large, fine, the question still remains. You have a 61 ounce onion now. Why should you say that you have to take meiser from the whole 61 ounces when 1 ounce of it to begin with was salted? That's the question. Where did the heter go? Not the taste of the heter. Fine, that we could say is buckle, but the volume of it, the monetary value of it.
The monetary value?
Well, that's what we're saying. Exactly.
The same thing.
Well, yeah. Amalei, so Rabbah answers him back, why not? Mila itznan dekavasa, why not? We have exactly the same kind of thing in a Mishnah, which we also quoted previously in the Sugya. The Solim, we quoted it yesterday, the Solim sheyodu aleim v'shamim, onions that rain fell on them. This is, we're talking about, again, onions that have grown during the sixth year, so they're regular produce, the chulin, and they have no purchase shviyas. Then rain fell on them during Shemitah. Again, we talked about the question, did you actually replant them in the ground and they started, and then rain fell on them during Shemitah, or is it just you put them on the ground and the rain fell on them, or whatever it is, but simple, and they started growing larger. If the leaves are dark, which means, in other words, that now they really are absorbing nutrients from the soil, and therefore they're getting a healthy dark color. Asurin, yeah, they're reviving. Asurin, then we say that it's asur, meaning it has kedushas shvius. And again, you have the discussion that we mentioned yesterday. Are we talking about that only the leaves are asur, or are we talking about maybe that the whole onion, or at least the part, the additional part of the onion that grew would be asur? Hariku, but if the leaves were pale, mutarin, then it's mutar, because then any growth is obviously not getting any nutrients from the ground. You have to ask. You could ask the same thing. By your logic, so you could ask the same thing if they turn dark. Why should they be asur? The same logic you should argue. Let's say we're talking about the leaves themselves being asur. You're going to tell me that the leaves themselves we're going to say have kedushas shvius. You could argue, let's say, fine, the onion bulb itself doesn't because it grew during the sixth year. You want to argue, big minds are behind you. You want to argue because the leaves themselves became darker, therefore fine. You'd argue that it means the leaves themselves, let's say, have kedushas shvius. But why? Part of those leaves also existed before Shemitah. So by the same logic, you should say by the
right.
No, but that's not the point. The point is you should still say, by your logic, Rav Chisda, that you're saying, look at the original volume of the onion, the original 1 ounce, why are you being re-mechayevit and meiser? Well, by the same logic, these leaves were originally an inch long. Now they're 2 inches long. Why should you say the entire 2 inches of leaf has kedushas shvius? Only 1 ounce of it, only one inch of it should have. Same logic.
And he's saying two have?
And he said, Mechura, he said, well, I mean, the Mishnah just says the blanket statement, Asurin, which implies the whole thing is Asur in the sense that it has kedushas shvius. But Mechura, that's what it means. Otherwise, the Mishnah should have said. Because the important point is like this. When we say Asurin, one special din that applies to Peres Shvius is called Tofsin Dmehin. Now, there's a few things in halacha. Hekdesh is another one of them. That if they have a monetary value, and if you exchange them for money, then that money gets the kedusha instead. That's no chiddush. With shmitah, actually, there's an extra thing, which is that the money gains kedusha, and the original fruit or vegetable still has kedusha shvius as well. We learned about this way back in sukkah. That, for example, so you have an onion of shvius. If you have the whole onion, to keep things simple, has kedusha shvius. If you go and sell that whole, if you go and trade that whole onion in for money, then both the onion and the money have kedusha shvius. And now, if you use the money to buy carrots, then the carrots have kedusha shvius, and the money doesn't. And if you sell the carrots and use it to buy meat, then the meat has kedusha shvius, and so on and so forth. It's always the last thing in the chain, and the original thing in the chain. That's a special din that only applies to shmita. What? Well, right, because the pasuk uses the expression about a yeh, which means bava yafet, hey, that the shmita fruit still retains its original status. Yeah, the point is, what's the lashon pasuk over there? Tia kol tvuas alecho, I think is the lashon. So therefore, we learn from that tia bava yafet, hey, that the shmita fruit always retains its original status. The point is, okay, that's not so relevant to our point. The point is, though, this. We do know, at any rate, that if you trade in Shmita fruit for money, then the money gets kedusha. That's a given. Again, the same thing would apply to Hekdesh and to Maaser Sheni and a bunch of other things. When the Mishnah is saying Asurin, again, it implies that the whole onion, as the case may be, has kedusha shvius. Why? By the same logic, half of the leaf in its present size existed before Shmita, and that 1 ounce long leaf, let's say, would have been worth 10 cents. Now you're telling me the whole long leaf, 2 ounces, is now worth 20 cents, and you're telling me the whole 20 cents is kedushas shvius. Why? Only 10 ounces of it should have kedushas shvius.
If you understand, but
l'chor of the Mishnah, that's what the Mishnah is saying.
Could mean even with one.
No, that seems to be what the Mishnah is saying. Well, wait, actually, let's see. Omelet, actually, that is exactly what Rav Chisda answers. Mi sabrat al ikur katani, who says the Mishnah is talking about the original leaf or the original onion? When it says asurin, attack only means, like you were saying, attack only means the additional growth. Okay, the question is, fine, if that's the case then what exactly is Rav Shimon Gamliel adding? Tanya, as we learn in a Braisa, Rav Shimon Gamliel Lomer, Hagadol, in connection with that Mishnah, Hagadol b'chiyuv chayev, Hagadol b'tur potter. Anything that grows in a state or in a place of chiyuv is chayev, in whatever it is, in this case Shemitah. Anything that grows in a state of potter is p'tur. Now, the Rosh points out that really the expression chayev and potter are not really so relevant. Those aren't really the correct terms to use in the case of Shemitah. It should rather be mutter also, like we've been using before. Really, he says, actually, Rav Shimon Gamliel is actually talking about a different case. He's talking, there's a case the Gemara mentions in Zittin, I think, of a tree that's standing on the border between Eretz Yisrael and Chutz La'aretz. Half the tree is in Eretz Yisrael, half of it is in Chutz La'aretz. You know, every so often you have a little news item about a house that's, you know, for example, half of it is in Queens and half of it is in Long Island and all the deal that there is over there with property taxes and school districts and whatnot. This is a similar kind of thing.
Zip codes.
So this tree has two different zip codes and it has two different halachas. Rav Shimon Gamliel says the side of it, that the fruit that grows on the Eretz Yisrael side, that grows in a place of chiyuv, is chayim. The part that the fruit on that very same tree that grows in a place of ptur is potter. Now, by the same logic, we would apply that to other areas in halacha as well, including in this case, Shemitah. So yes, if one inch of the leaf grew during the sixth year and another inch grew during the seventh year during Shemitah, then yes, according to Rav Shimon Gamliel, you would be saying that the Kedushas Shviyath only applies to the second inch. Fine, but the point is, what is Rav Shimon Gamliel adding? If you're telling me, according to Rav Chisda, that the Tanakhama holds exactly the same thing, then what is Rav Shimon Gamliel adding? Okay, the word Tanakhama, by the way, is not really the Rosh points out the word Tanakhama here is not really so precise. We have a Mishnah versus a Braisa. The Tana of the Mishnah is not really the, but okay, since we're referring to a Mishnah which was unspecified, now we have Rav Shimon Gamliel, so we call it Tanakhama. But yeah, really the more usual term of it would be Tana de Masnissin or something, whatever. So what is Rav Shimon Gamliel adding? The answer is, the question is, Tanakhama nami hachi yomer, isn't that exactly what the Tanakhama said also? The answer is no. You would say, kulamas nishin Rav Shimon Gamliel katani lo. No, what you would argue is both the original Mishnah and the Braisa is all a statement of Rav Shimon Gamliel. So it's not two different opinions. He's stating the facts, right. Usually the expression for that throughout Shas would be the Chsuri Mechzer of Al Chatani, Sher of Shimon Gamliel says such and such. Okay. So what's the difference? Now the Gemara is going to bring in a new factor that we haven't been dealing with all this time.
Now, if we're saying both, the Mishnah, the Braisa and the Mishnah are the opinion of Rav Shimon Gamliel.
Rav Chisda can argue that you're taka not saying heter shemahen lahechem halach. As a matter of fact, the heter part remains mutter. The original one inch of leaf that grew during the sixth year is taka mutter. Taka has no kedushas shviyas. Only the second inch has kedushas shviyas. Good, that's exactly what the Mishnah and Rav Shimon Gamliel are saying. So Rav Chisda, so that doesn't contradict Rav Chisda's point.
No, actually,
it fits. Well, it fits Rav Shimon, that's the point. Rav has a way of so that's the thing. Rabba was saying to Rav Chisda, how would you understand that Mishnah? So that's what Rav Chisda is saying. You, Rabba, thought that we said that when we say that if the leaves are dark green, it means they're also, it means the whole leaf. No, it only means the second half of the leaf, which fits with what Rav Shimon Gamliel says in the Braisa. So why Taka is Rav Shimon Gamliel making that distinction? On what basis does he make that distinction? We're gonna mention a new factor that comes into play over here that we have not mentioned before. The Ad Kan Leshametle Rav Shimon Gamliel Deloy Katorach. You know when you hear Rav Shimon Gamliel saying that that one half is usher and one half is mutter, only if you didn't go to the trouble of trying to be mevatelet. So in the case of the onion of Shemitah, you just left it on the ground; it grew on its own. So then you would argue that the gedulim and the ikar each have their own status. The gedulim are not strong enough to be mevatel the ikar completely. So therefore, we will say the gedulin, the second inch of the leaf, will be osur. We'll have purchase for it. The first inch of the leaf will not, as opposed to avol hecha b'fatorach v'ata b'ruba. But if you actually go to the trouble of doing something to be mevatelit, like going and planting, like the original case we had over here, litra b'tzalim, then you would say. Then you would say that in fact the ikur can be that the ikur can in fact be mevatel the gedulim can be mevatel the ikur. This is Rabbah answering. This is Rabbah answering. He's explaining why would there have to be the difference if we're assuming that the Mishnah indeed by saying asurin means only the second inch and that that's the opinion of Rav Shimon Gamliel, then we're back to the question: so how does Rav Yochanan make a statement about the litzur of tzolin that the whole thing becomes chayiv and meiser? So the difference is, we can argue that there's a difference between whether you did an action to be mevatel the ikur or not. In the case of Shmita, you did not do any action; the rain fell on its own and grew on its own. Whereas here, you actually took this litra of onions and planted them.
So if it was ticha, then we say what?
Well, So then what we say is that the gedulim have a stronger status and they're able to be mevatel the iser. Or in this case, it would be the other way around. So the Ran points out a detail in this like this. So here what we're saying, according to Rav Shimon Gamliel, which Rabbah seems to be accepting, is that the part that grows in a state of chiyuv, in the case of Shmita, grows in a state of chiyuv, it's chayiv. So we see that we treat the ikur as something separate and the gedulim as something separate. Back at the beginning of the sugya, the Ran had explained there's no such thing. You either have the whole thing is mutter or the whole thing is osur. There's no in-between. So the difference is, he says, that here we're talking about that what usually when we talk about bittul, what's mevatel what? Usually we talk about that heter, that you have more heter to be mevatel the iser. You don't really, generally speaking, have a concept that you have more iser and it's mevatel the heter.
It's more the heter
is mevatel the iser. That's not the other way around. And here we also have again there's the question of tircha or not. In the case of the Shmita onion,
right.
in the case of the Shmita onion leaves growing, there's no tircha. And in the case of Meiser, there is.
So coming back to the tircha, according to the opinion you put it in the ground,
so it would be a little hard to explain this part of the Gemara according to that. Maybe they would argue you didn't put it in the ground specifically in order to grow. You weren't trying to make it grow during Shmita. You're not allowed to grow vegetables during Shmita. You put it in the ground not specifically with the intention that it's going to start growing.
Okay, but the fact of ticha would do what in this? Would render the gedulim?
The fact that you do ticha makes that the gedulim have a much stronger status, have a much stronger effect, and therefore they're able to overwhelm the ikur, cancel out the ikur.
That sounds surprising. We would say the opposite.
Well, we had a similar concept before. We argued that, yesterday we had the concept if you had crushed the onion, where there's two different things. There's where you do something to weaken the iser. There's something where you do something to weaken the ikur, like in that case where you take the original onion and crush it. And then you have, I guess, and then you have over here, the difference is you're not really weakening the ikur per se, but you're not weakening the ikur, but you're strengthening the gedulim by doing something, by doing a definitive action to make the gedulim happen. It's the other way around, actually. Well, by finding them. You show that the gedulim are more important to you, right? So over there, actually, it was the other way around. When you crush the onion, it was like you're trying to make it not going to grow. And nevertheless, it ends up growing. But we're saying, okay, the gedulim themselves maybe are kind of an incidental thing. You didn't mean for them necessarily to happen. But the fact that the ikar itself has been weakened gives us more reason to say that the gedulim override that weak ikar. Here it's the other way around. The ikar is strong, but the gedulim are stronger because you planted it specifically with the intention of producing those gedulim. And so that would be the difference.
That would be enough to cancel the ikar?
That's what we're saying, therefore. The question is, by that logic, so you're telling me wherever you do tircha, then it's botobaroi, via litra maitre tevel. What about another case that we had previously, where a levy took a litra of maitre rishon, which had not yet had trumas maitre taken out from it, so for him it's still tevel, and he planted it, to katarach, there he planted it, planting it, we established as a tircha. And we said that in that case, what you actually have to do is you have to take Meiser for that original litra based on the calculation. You have to figure out the volume of that. You have that original litra, which should have had Shrumas Meiser taken out of it, which you didn't. You have to go and find other produce to take Shrumas Meiser out of on behalf of this original litra that you find.
So if we said that the tircha allows the gedulim to be mevatel the ikar,
then what we would say is we don't have to go look for other produce. Just say outright, this entire 10 litra of onions that you harvested, you take out trumas meiser from the whole thing. You don't have to divide between what grew now versus what was there originally.
So that contradicts this statement of tircha that we just established.
Yeah. The answer is shiny gabi meiser. It's different when it comes to meiser. The amakro aser to aser, because the pasuk uses the expression aser to aser. So the expression is aser to aser is called tvoras zarecha. You should give meiser from all the produce of your seeds. One second. The hetera zari inchi isura la zari inchi. Now, what do people normally plant? People normally plant something which is mutter. They don't usually plant something which is osir. Meaning, there's a difference between, in other words, like this. What is the Torah saying? By saying aser to aser, the implication is even when you have something that meiser has previously already been taken from, you're still going to have to give meiser from it all over again. Which is what Rabbi Yechanan is saying in our case of the litra of onions that you planted that you took meister from and replanted. That's called the hetera zari inchi. People normally plant only something which is already mutter, something which has already been meister. And the Torah is saying in that particular case, we have to ignore the original, the volume of the original, which was potter from meiser, and we make you take meiser from it again. As opposed to, why? Because the Torah used the word zarecha, your planting, which implies the normal kind of planting that people do. As opposed to when it comes to the second case that we mentioned, the litra of meiser tevel, where trumas meiser had not been taken out from it, and therefore it's also to eat, that's not the kind of thing people normally plant. And if people don't normally plant it, then we would not apply this zeres hakasov to it. Effectively, in other words, what we're saying is, it comes out basically that by taking the proper trumas and meiser before planting the thing, in a way you lose out. It comes out based on that. So if you took proper trumas and meiser, then Rabbi Yechanan is saying you're going to have to take from all over again for everything, including what you originally planted. Whereas if you hadn't, then we would say that you take meiser. You only have to take the trumas meiser for this original thing. So again, it's meiser vision. You didn't have to take anything else out of it. But everything else needs full truma and meiser taken out from it. Now one thing the Ram points out in this connection. Now when you get down to it, we've discussed a little bit here and there over the last few days that meiser of vegetables, such as onions, is anyway only midrabanan.
Right.
So what are we doing the pasuk for?
That's what I was just about to ask.
Okay. So in fact, the Ram says you're right. On the face of it, we would have to say that we're not bringing this pasuk as an actual zera. We're bringing it as an asmakta. But there is a logical reason to say, there is a logical reason to apply that asmachta only to a case of something that people would normally plant. People normally only plant from something that full trumas and maisers have been taken from. Not, people don't usually plant tevel, or in this case, maiser ishim, which is tevel.
The least one.
Right. So returning for a second to the matter of Shemitah, Shemitah does apply Daraisa equally well to onions as to everything else. So when you have a heter mixed with an iser, then you can have bittul. When you have an iser mixed with an iser, for example, when you plant a tevel, or for example, when you're talking about shmita, then because both of them are the same kind of thing. They are both the same species after all. Therefore, no bittul is possible. And especially in the case of tevel, and to a certain extent in the case of shmita, where davar sheyesh lamatirin, tevel we said it because you can always take ma'aser from it, and shviyas because you can eat it before beer. So therefore, again, you have a difference. Right. So you have a difference whether bittul is at all possible over there, whether you're talking only iser, whether you have iser and heter involved over here. Incidentally, though, the Ram says he himself has trouble with this whole understanding. He says at the end of Shiny Gavi Meiser, he says, "Vadayin ain't daiti noicham." Still, my mind is not at ease about this. But Sarachani lachus rav. I have to find myself a rav to discuss this further with. Interesting expression.
Is that a rav?
Yeah. Tells you something, doesn't it? Yeah, but what we mean over here is, you know, we can see from that that this is a bit of a complicated piece. Okay. So far that explains that. Then we can say with Rabbi Yochanan that if he planted onions that are completely meiser, then you still have to meiser them all over again. Versus, we can also say that if you planted meiser that was still tevel, meiserishin that was still tevel, that there will be a difference between what you have to take out from the growth, so you have to take out full trumas and meisers, versus what you have to take out from the original, where you just have to deal with the trumas meiser.
The cases are not.
Yeah, they're not exactly the same, because one is heter and one is iser. Yeah. Okay, Gufa, getting back to another statement that we mentioned previously in the sugya, Amar Rav Chanina Tirsa, Amar Rav Yanai, Botzo Shal Truma Shenata, if you plant an onion of Truma, Rabu Gidulav Alikarai, and now the growths are bigger than the original amount, Mutter, then it becomes Mutter even for Zorin seeds. It's not considered Truma anymore.
A Kohen took an onion of Truma
and planted it. So now that it grew larger than the original, so now you have there's more growth than the original onion, then the whole thing becomes mutter. Look, the question is, remember the Gedulei Heter Malinus to Isser. So you're telling me that in a case like that, we're saying that the Gedulei Heter are canceling out the Isser. Vatnan Gedulei Truma Truma. But we learned in the Mishnah that the growth of truma are still considered truma.
We said initially.
Yeah. So you see that on the contrary, because the ikker is also, and the gedulim came from it, we give the gedulim the status of the ikker.
Right.
So how are they able to be mevatel it? The answer is the gedulim gedulim kamiyun. Fine. We're not talking about when we say over here, when Rabbi Yana is saying that the gedulim are mutter, we mean gedulim gedulim. We mean the second growth. Which would be a case, for example, I think the Rambam gives an example, let's say with onions, where you planted it, it started growing leaves. Afterwards, you cut off that leaf, you cut off those leaves, those leaves that grow originally out of gedulin, you cut them off, new leaves start growing, those are gedulin gedulin.
It's not you plant the gedulin.
No, because the onion itself keeps on getting bigger, you still have, yeah.
So you cut these gedulin?
You cut these gedulin, and yeah.
Gedulin.
Right. Okay, the question is, Hanami Tanei, now fine, you don't need Rabbi Yanai to tell us that. We have a Mishnah that says, Gedulei Gedulei Cholim. Fine, we have an explicit Mishnah that tells us that when you plant truma, the first growths are truma, midrabanan, the second ones are cholin. The answer is hokamash malon. Okay, but what Rabbi Yana is telling us, afilu bedova she'en zarei kola, that you should know that's not only true of something where the original seed disintegrates, where, for example, now this din didulit truma or truma applies across the board. Even, for example, if you take wheat of truma and plant it, where the original wheat disintegrates in the ground, you still say that the gedulim are truma midrabanan. And the reason for that, by the way, is we learned way back in Pesachim, the reason is because the Chachamim made a knas on it, they didn't want the Koyin, in particular it applies when the truma is tame, but tame actually is a different matter than the growths are also to eat. But here with truma tahora, still it's kind of a knas for the fact that we don't want the Koyin to be planting it, we wanted to eat it for time. Anyway, so that we based on the Mishnah, we would have thought that the difference between the first level growth and the second one maybe only applies to wheat and things like that. Maybe it doesn't apply to onions and things from that
That's
family.
That's
the Kamash Malan. Kamash Malan, afilu bedava she'en zarei kola. Okay, so Rabbi Yana is telling us that it applies even to onions.
And everything that doesn't destroy itself.
Well, okay, v'hatnan, what about this that we learn how tevo gedula putorin, bedava shezarei kola? What about, okay, what about we learn in another Mishnah, we learn that there's a difference as far as between tevel and truma. Tevel, if you plant it, the growth of mutter, bedava shezarei kola, but only if it's something where the seeds disintegrate. But if it's something that the seeds don't disintegrate, like onions, even gedula gedulin asurin, then even the gedula gedulin are asur. So why should it be, in the case of tevel, if you plant a tevel,
right.
And by the way, the Ran points out, in order for it to be tevel, it's not just for example that you grew it and then you went and replanted it. As we learned yesterday, it doesn't automatically become tevel as soon as it's harvested. For it to be harvested, it has to be processed. It has to, in the case of grain, for example, it has to reach the point where you piled it up in a heap and then smoothed out the sides of the heap. It's called miruach. So if it reached that point, and then before taking truma and maizer from it, you went and planted it, that's the case we're talking about. That's the case we're talking about, where if it wasn't wheat, if it was onion, then even gedula no aser. Because the original pebble is still somewhere in there. The answer is ribuya the rovu gedulin ale kore mutter. The difference is that when do we say, when we say that by tevel that even the gedulin are osur, what we mean is if they're still not larger than the original ikar. Ribuya the rovu gedulin ale kore mutter. If the gedulin, gedulin in this case, are larger than the ikar, then yes, it will be mutter. Meaning in volume, yeah. Meaning, in other words, so in the case of truma, in the case of Rabbi Yana's batel shel truma, the case will be the original onion that you planted of truma was an ounce. Now, by the time you're through the gedulin process, it's 3 ounces. So there you go. Then it can be mutter. Whereas the case of tevel, when the Mishnah says gedulin or osur, it means if after everything you harvested it and it's still less than 2 ounces in size. So you have the original ounce of tevel, and you have less than an ounce of growth that grew even after gedulin. Okay. That'll still remain osur. So it's not really a difference between tevel and truma per se. It's a difference how much more grew to be mevaporated.
Greater than the original
or not? Yeah. Malon, and that's what Rabbi Yana is informing us, that there is that distinction. That was a fun ride. Okay. Mishnah says, continuing on the topic that we've been going through with the last couple of prakim, when you make a neder, what the exact definition is. So up until now, we've been talking for the most part about the definitions of the actual object that you make the neder on. What exactly is included in something cooked? What exactly is included in yerakos, etc. Now we're going to talk about the time frame that the neder is in effect for. Mishnah says, "Konam yayin shani toyim hayoyim." Somebody says, "Konam that I won't drink wine today." How long does today last? And also, elach techshach. So he's only also until it gets dark.
Not
24 hours. Shabbos zu. What if he says this? What if he says this week? also b'chol Shabbos for Shabbos she'avra, then what it means is he'll be also the rest of that week, as well as the following Shabbos is included in the previous week. The Shabbos she'avra doesn't mean last Shabbos, according to the first segment of Shabbos. It means this coming. Well, we're going to get to that actually. The Rambam is going to give a different explanation soon. But let's first go according to his first preferred explanation, which is that it means Shabbos belongs to she'avra. It belongs to the previous week. We don't say, in other words, we don't say that the week just means the weekdays and then Shabbos is the beginning of the next week. No, Shabbos is the end of the current week. So the neder will be in effect until the end of Shabbos. If you make the neder on Wednesday, then you're also Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Shabbos. Shabbos is over, you're mutter.
So the days belong to the next two.
So the Shabbos, well, that, but also the point is rather what we're saying, Shabbos itself belongs to the previous week. Don't. Shabbos is right, but it's the seventh day, not the first day of the next week.
How do you say that Shabbos belongs to Chol? It's
rather the point is that it belongs together with them. It's part of that same week.
The coming Shabbos.
Today is Wednesday. Today is Wednesday. If a person were to make such a neder today, right, he would be also in it Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Shabbos.
Don't we say that after Wednesday, everything belongs to
Shabbos? That's a different thing. We're going to talk about that later. We're talking about Lifnei Shabbos, Lacha Shabbos. We're not getting into that yet. That's later.
Doesn't apply. He didn't make it for one day. He made it for
another. No, he made it for several. He made it for. Put it this. Think of it in English. If you say I'm going to be doing something this week, you mean sometime between now and the end of Shabbos.
Right.
Right.
What do you mean?
If you say I'm going to do something this week, you mean sometime between now and the end of Shabbos, right? That's the same thing we're saying over here. Don't think that the week for this purpose ends with the end of Friday. No, it ends with the end of Shabbos. Chodesh there. What if somebody says that the thing will be also to me this month? Also, b'chol chodesh for this chodesh lahabba. Then we say that no, he's also for that whole month, but the day of Rosh Chodesh belongs to the next month. The day, well, Aleph, think of it. I mean, okay, we're going to talk later on. We're going to get later on into one versus 2 days of Shvedish. Right now, let's deal with the Mishnah itself. In the simplest case, when you have a 1 day of Shvedish, yes, that 1 day belongs to the next month. If it is, yeah, that's what we're saying. That's the point. Shonazu.
Are we saying that the 1 day of Shvedish belongs to the
next month? We'll get to later on the question about what happens when you have a two-day Rosh Chodesh. Relax. Okay. Shonazu, what if somebody says the neder is in effect for this year? Also b'chol Hashanah, so he's also for the rest of that year. And again, Rosh Hashanah la'asod lover, Rosh Hashanah belongs to the future. The reason why, by the way, why we're using la'abba versus la'asid lava, the Rosh over here explains, it's basically based on how people talk. Rosh Chodesh is coming up in the near future, so people talk about it as la'abba, it's coming soon. Rosh Hashanah is a long time in the future, people talk about a la'asid lava. Yeah. But it's the same thing. Rosh Hashanah belongs to the next year. So therefore, the neder expires at the end of Erev Rosh Hashanah. Shavua there, what if he says the neder is in effect for this whole Shemitah cycle, also b'chol Shavua, Shviyas Sha'avra, then he's also, that whole cycle, including the Shemitah year. There we say that the Shemitah year, just like Shabbat, belongs to the previous cycle, not to the next one. Now this is all if he's talking about it in terms of this day, or this week, or what have you. What about V'imama Yom Echad, what if he said that the neder should be in effect for 1 day, Shabbat Achas, or 1 week, Chodesh Echad, 1 month, Shana Achas, 1 year, Shavua Echad, or one cycle, one seven-year cycle. Also, Miyom Liyom, then it's different. Then we say that he's author from day to day. So in the case, for example, he said it's a neder for 1 day, it means 24 hours. As opposed to the previous one, where it's right. And in the case of 1 week, it'll mean he made the neder on Wednesday, then it'll be until the following week, Wednesday, etc. The Mepharshim discussed over here, do we mean in the case of a week, for example, does it literally mean until that same time? If he makes the neder at 2 o'clock in the afternoon on Wednesday, then it's in effect until 2 o'clock in the afternoon Wednesday a week later, or does it expire at the beginning of Wednesday the next week? Okay.
Why should it be today? The first case is how you
tell me to. Right, but here we're saying Yom Echad. That's the difference.
That's
what we're saying. There's a difference in English also. We have a difference whether a person says I'm going to do something today, or I'm going to do or I'm going to or, 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 or I'm going to do something I'm going to do something that's going to take one day. There's a difference, right?
This day or one day.
This day or one day, right. How about if he says, Ad HaPesach, he says that this neder is in effect until Pesach, also Ad Shiyagia, then he's also until Pesach begins. Ad means V'loy Ad B'chlal, not including Pesach itself.
So do we count Pesach begins at night?
Yeah. Ad Shiyahei, on the other hand, if he says until Pesach is, then it means also Ad Shiyetze, then it means he's also until Pesach ends. Because as long as Pesach has not ended, it still is. Ad Shiyahei means until Pesach is completed, basically. Now, what if he says Ad Lifnei HaPesach, or not Lifnei, really, the proper word is supposed to be Pnei. What if he says until Pnei HaPesach, which literally means the face of Pesach? Reb Meir Omer also Ad Shiyagia, so Reb Meir says he'll be also until Pesach comes. Reb Yossi Omer also Ad Shiyagia, Reb Yossi says he's also until Pesach is over. The point is, it's Pnei. The point is like this, you could look at it either way. You could argue that, and the Gemara is going to discuss this later on, that the Pnei HaPesach can mean the Pnei when the first hour of Pesach is facing us, so then it would mean that it ends right before Pesach. On the other hand, it can mean when the last hour of Pesach is facing us. So Reb Meir, as the Gemara is going to discuss, Reb Meir holds that a person who makes a neder is not putting himself into that kind of suffix. If he says Ad Pnei HaPesach, he means only up until the time that we can definitively say it's considered Pnei HaPesach. Whereas according to Reb Yossi, yes, the person is including that potential suffix as well, and therefore it winds up every time during Pesach, you could still argue it's Pnei HaPesach, there's still more Pesach to come, and therefore it has to be in effect until the very end of Pesach.
When we say the Chalitza, Shabbos.
What about it? Pnei Shabbos Mekabla? Okay.
Pnei Shabbos
Mekabla.
From the beginning.
Do we say it?
Until the end of Shabbos.
We're welcoming him in the whole Shabbos, the whole 25 hours of it, no? Okay, but anyway, in Lashon Bnei Adam, it's not necessarily the same thing. Okay, so in all of this that we said before about this business when a person makes the neder for this day or this week or what have you, where we said therefore that's only till the end of the day or till the end of Shabbos and so forth, that's the Ran's first explanation and the one that he prefers. Then he gives another explanation, which is that we're talking, for example, suppose a person makes a neder on Shabbos on Shabbos itself. He makes the neder on Shabbos itself. When he says Shabbos Zu, now you could argue it means, well, only till the end of this week. Well, that means there's only a few hours left of it. No, we wouldn't say that according to that way of looking at it. What the Mishnah would be telling us according to that way of looking at it is it means that the neder will in fact be in effect for the whole rest of Shabbos as well as the whole next week, including the next Shabbos. So it would be in effect for 7.5 days then.
Based on,
that's what the Mishnah is saying. The Shabbos Sha'avra, according to that, when the person is saying Shabbos Zu, means that he makes the neder on this Shabbos, on Shabbos itself, and he's saying this week, when we say the Shabbos Sha'avra, means that even the Shabbos at the beginning, even the Shabbos which is partly already passed, is still considered to be part of the neder. We don't say
Shabbos is two different Shabbos.
Yeah, but that's that.
You cannot say that one Shabbos includes two Shabbos.
But that's what we're saying, effectively.
Yeah, I know that's what we're saying, but that's my question.
Okay, but that's how they understand. That's how they understand.
How can they say that one Shabbos is two Shabbos?
That's what we mean. Shabbos l'shaber. It means that even though the Shabbos, when the neder is being made, really does belong to the previous week. But the fact that you said Shabbos Zu means that you're meaning to include both the Shabbos in which you're standing as well as the whole week until the following Shabbos. That's how they understand it.
Should it mean Shabbos Zu?
Well, the problem. Okay, the Zu and Zoyis are basically the same thing. Zoyis is Lashon Torah, Zu is Lashon Chacham. Okay, the Ran says I don't like that explanation for a different reason. Not because of your objection. The Ran says I have a different objection here. We learn in Rosh Hashanah that for example, a person makes a neder not to have hanah from his friend this year. What if he makes the neder erev Rosh Hashanah? Then it expires at the end of that year. So we don't say that he meant for it to be in effect for a whole year and therefore it should be in effect.
We're going to
talk about in the Gemara about that in a minute, just a minute. But in principle, it expires at the end of that year. We don't say that it includes today as well as the whole next year. So why in our case? Why in the case when you...
Only in the case you do Ataris Adarim, it's not.
So why should so why if you make the neder in the middle of Shabbos, why should it include this Shabbos as well as next Shabbos? Okay, that's the answer. Okay. So the Gemara says when we said koinam yayin shani toyim kola, that you make a koinam that I won't drink wine. We said for this whole day, and we said it's only until it gets dark. Amar Rav Yirmiyah l'chitech shach tzarach she'elo l'chacham. Yes. In principle, once he's having said Hayoim, then it expires as soon as it gets dark, but he still needs to be Matur Neder, Midrabam, in order to be allowed to drink wine any time after it gets dark until 24 hours have passed from his Neder, until the next morning, whatever. Yeah. My time, or what's the reason? Amar Rabbi Yosef, Gzera Hayoim Mishum Yoim Echad. Because you make a Gzera, it's very easy to confuse that if a person said Hayoim with if he said Yoim Echad. So what's going to happen? If you're going to say that when the person said Hayoim, and you're going to allow him now to drink wine after it gets dark, another time he may make the neder and instead say Yoim Echad, he won't realize the distinction. He will think, oh, it gets dark, I can immediately go drink wine. So in order to avoid that confusion, we're telling him that yes, technically you're allowed to drink wine after it gets dark, but don't do that until you're Matur Neder. So he says to him, well, by the same logic, then, why don't you say the other way around? A person makes a neder for 24 hours. A person makes a neder for 24 hours. Tell him that he's not allowed to drink wine after the 24-hour period elapses until the night, because you have the same problem. You can say in reverse. A person makes a neder, and all of a sudden it's going to become mutz to him in the middle of the day. Next time he may make a neder hayoim, and it'll be in effect till it gets dark, and he won't realize. The answer is, very simple. You're more likely to confuse the way that we said originally than the other way around. Namely, if you say Hayoim and then it expires at night, then it's very easy to confuse that with another time you might say Yom Echad, where it still has to be in effect another 12 hours or what have you. But if you've already been having the neder for 24 hours, you're much less likely to confuse that with a case where the neder lasts only until nightfall. You're much less likely to say, well, okay, now I'm allowed to drink wine at 2 o'clock in the afternoon, because 24 hours have passed. Therefore, another time, if I say Hayoim, I can also drink at 2 in the afternoon. That's much less likely. A person is much less likely to get confused after they've already been doing the neder for 24 hours. As opposed to the other way around, where they only did the neder till nightfall, and there's a concern that you might confuse that with neder, where another time he makes the neder at 2 o'clock in the afternoon, and you've only been keeping it for 4 or 5 hours until nightfall. There's much more concern that you might, come nightfall, another time when you really have a 24-hour neder in effect, think that it's already expired then.
By nightfall, even though it just started.
Right. Yeah. Amar Ravina, Amali Maremer. So Ravina says that Maremer told me, Hachi Amar Avuch Mishmed Rav Yosef. Your father, Maremer tells me that Ravina, your father told me in the name of Rav Yosef, Keman Ozla Shmaitid Rav Yirmiyah Ba'aba. Who does this statement of Rav Yirmiyah Ba'aba go like Rav Nosson? It goes like what Rav Nosson says, the Tanya, as we learned it yesterday. Rav Nosson, I'm called Noideki Lubana Bama. When a person makes a neder, it's as if he built a bama, it's as if he built an illegal mizbeach for Hashem. Bama Kaimaki Lamakhtel, a person who fulfills the neder is as if he sacrifices on it. We said that before. So, in other words, the point is a person makes a neder is really doing an improper thing. Because of that, we give him this knas and make him be Matur Neder. Which, now, the point is actually that we actually need both reasons. We need the reason about mixing up Yom Echad with Hayoim, about mixing up, you say Hayoim versus Yom Echad, as well as this reason. Because with this reason alone, we would say it should apply to any neder. You shouldn't be mutter in any neder once it expires until you're mutter neder. We don't say that. We only say that in this one case. On the other hand, the idea that you're going to mix up Yom Echad and that you're going to mix up Yom Echad with Hayoim is a bit of a weak reason. If it weren't for the fact that the person had done something wrong in the first place, we wouldn't make him go to the trouble of finding a chacham to be matir neder. These two reasons taken together, the possibility of confusion and the fact that to begin with he did a wrong thing by making a neder, those two reasons taken together are enough to force him to be matir neder before he actually goes and drinks the wine. One other thing, by the way, that Ron points out, what about, for example, so nowadays a person makes a neder of a tiny siyachid, he fasts from morning until nightfall, we don't make him be matur neder at the end of it, we don't say that another time he might make a neder for 24 hours. The difference is, when a person makes a neder of a tiny, he knows that it's only until nightfall, there's no concern that you're going to confuse it with a neder for 24 hours, because who makes a neder for 24 hours?